Since this coming Sunday is the celebration of Mother's Day, the 12th of May, I felt it was appropriate to share a journey through the Bible teaching related specifically to the subject of motherhood. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word will not return void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent, and it will prosper. In Yeshua's mighty name, thank you, Father, that no evil force of darkness will interfere with what you want to accomplish in and through this teaching, and all praise and glory is given to you. In your mighty name, amen. It is such a vast topic, the subject of motherhood. And the list of women who have excelled in this area in one way or another is inexhaustible. Not just the many notable women in the Bible, but also the vast number of women throughout history who have done great exploits for God. Over the years, as a Christian, I have read books, articles, and watched videos on the lives of some of these remarkable women. Although this is not the focus for this particular podcast, it would be right to mention a few examples before going on with the actual teaching. One such person is a woman by the name of Miss Lillian Trasher, who was an American missionary to Egypt and responsible for founding and operating the largest orphanage of the 20th century. At the time of her death in 1961, her orphanage had grown to some 1,600 children and still exists to this day. She was called Mother of the Nile due to the fact that God used her to bring hope and healing, both physical and spiritual, to countless children, as well as helping many destitute widows and also the blind. A powerful story of the Lord's miraculous provision in the midst of much poverty, pain, and suffering. A call not unsimilar to that of the well-known, even famous, Mother Teresa of Calcutta in India. Then, of course, there are the multitudes of mothers from all walks of life, worldwide, Christian mothers who have been exemplary in bringing up their own children. And I'm pretty sure that most Christian moms will say that they have tried their level best to do the job well with the help of the Holy Spirit. Being a mother myself, I know it to be a rewarding yet also a challenging task, one which is a lifelong endeavor and which requires a special anointing for the task. The role of mothering also obviously changes depending on the different seasons in one's life. For example, as children grow up, they then get married and establish families of their own, as Yeshua taught in Matthew 19, verses 5 to 6. A man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Relationships between mother and children change then, since marriage is the closest relationship between any two people on this earth. But the God-given call to motherhood remains the same. And then, of course, when grandchildren arrive on the scene, a special anointing needs to jump into gear to be granny. Skillful and godly wisdom is very important in all of these relationships, and caution is required so as not to be an interfering mother or mother-in-law or even an interfering granny, because it can cause so much unnecessary division in a family. And marriages are supposed to be God's building blocks in society. Therefore, in line with this, the Lord has led me to speak about the role of mothering from a slightly different perspective to the normal Mother's Day tribute, which so often does the rounds at this time of year. Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 21, paints a picture of the Lord Yeshua with a very busy ministry schedule, so much so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat a meal together. And his mother and brothers decided to take matters into their own hands to try and sort the problem out, but they had missed the boat completely. They didn't realize what Yeshua was even all about. Reading from chapter 3 of Mark, verse 20. Then he came, that's Yeshua, to a house in Capernaum, and a crowd formed again, so many people that Yeshua and his disciples could not even eat a meal together. When his own family heard this, they went to take custody of him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." Now verses 31 to 35 of the same chapter goes on to say, "Then his mother and his brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called for him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you.' And he replied, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' Looking at those who were sitting in a circle around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God by believing in me and following me, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" Now his mother Mary and his siblings certainly had misunderstood Yeshua when they heard that he and his disciples didn't even have time to eat. They thought that he had completely lost it, and that this ministry thing had got out of hand. Interestingly enough, Yeshua, in verses 24 and 25, was teaching on the subject of unity just prior to the arrival of his family. Verse 24 says, "If a kingdom is divided, split into factions and rebelling against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end." Anyway, Yeshua must have sounded rather offensive with regard to his family. Was he really rejecting them? No, of course not. He loved his mother and his brothers, but he was simply trying to get a point across to them, emphasizing the importance of what he was doing in his ministry by extending the kingdom of heaven. And he expected all of his followers to work with him and not against him. Luke chapter 8, as a cross-reference, verses 19 to 21 describes it like this: "My mother and my brothers are those who listen to the word of God and do it." In other words, what Yeshua was saying, how important it is to be obedient and to put God's word into practice and to follow his example. From a modern day mother's perspective, the lesson you and I should be learning on a continual basis is that sometimes, where there might be a tendency to try and make things happen in the natural, in our children's lives, wisdom, skillful and godly wisdom, and obedience to God is needed to rather back off and pray for our Heavenly Father's intervention in certain situations, and to pray faith-filled prayers, because with those prayers is great supernatural power. And therefore, that is far more effective than a fussing, anxious, and interfering mother, mother-in-law, or a granny. Not forgetting, of course, that godly parental discipline is always vitally important when bringing up children. But the emphasis here is, so much can be achieved through intercession and praying faith-filled promises of God over situations. What is also interesting to me is that Mary, 18 years prior to this particular scenario concerning her son going out of his mind, as it were, or so she thought he was, had reacted in a very similar way when he was 12 years of age. And this is the well-known narrative where Mary and Joseph were so distressed because their son had gone missing, and they eventually found him 3 days later in the temple. So reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year for the Passover feast. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning to Nazareth, after spending the required number of days at the feast, the boy Yeshua remained behind in Jerusalem. Now his parents did not know this, but supposed him to be in the caravan and traveled a day's journey, and then they began searching anxiously for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem, looking for him everywhere. 3 days later they found him in the court of the temple, sitting among the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed by his intelligence and his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were overwhelmed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Listen, your father and I have been greatly distressed and anxiously looking for you." And he answered, "Why did you have to look for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he had said to them. He went down to Nazareth with them and was continually submissive and obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Yeshua kept increasing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. From this story, it's easy to understand from a purely natural perspective why both Mary and Joseph were so concerned about their son, because he'd gone missing for 3 long days. As earthly parents, both Graham and myself would certainly find that disconcerting if our children suddenly disappeared for 3 days like that. It's something natural for both mothers and fathers to feel like that. But young Yeshua's response to his mother was very similar to his response to her when he was much older as an adult and he'd already started his earthly ministry at the age of 30. He was simply going about doing his father's business. In other words, extending the kingdom of God by spending time in the temple as a young man listening to the religious teachers of the day and asking them relevant questions. He was doing kingdom business. Still, his parents did not understand, and Yeshua was obedient to them. Even though Mary treasured all these things in her heart, it must have been a very difficult road for her to travel as a mother, having the Son of God as her child, and especially as later on having to see him die on a cross, but praise God for the resurrection. And as mothers, there are always times of difficulty in each one of our lives experienced with our children. And that is just part of being a mother. But the Lord always gives the grace and always gives the strength and always gives whatever is needed to go through those difficult times. Now I'm going to tie up these two examples from Scripture with another story, this time found in the book of Judges. And this is an illustration of how obedience, which is a very necessary ingredient for character development, especially obedience to Almighty God, brings with it rewards. I'm going to be reading from Judges chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. Now Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was infertile and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are infertile and have no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Therefore be careful not to drink wine or any other intoxicating drink, and do not eat anything ceremonially unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from birth, and he shall begin to rescue Israel from the hands of the Philistines." Now the story does go on at length, but what I want to emphasize here is the reward for this woman. After years of being barren, she became pregnant. And this is the story about Samson's mother, who had a visitation from the angel of the Lord, who promised that she would give birth to a child, who would eventually become a judge of Israel and bring deliverance from the bondage that Israel was in from the Philistines. This mother, for some reason she's not named, but she was given strict instructions not to drink wine nor eat anything unclean. Now, why was this? I believe that even though these restrictions were given in the natural under the Jewish regulations, They had great spiritual significance. This mother's obedience to the Lord sanctified her, making her pure and holy as unto the Lord. And in doing so, she then sanctified her child. Such is the obedience God requires from all of his handmaidens. And the moral of the story is, the more obedient each one of us is, the more our Heavenly Father is able to use us as his precious daughters to bring transformation in the lives of not only our descendants, but also transformation in general in the lives of others. And he is able to reward those of us who do what he says to do. Ultimately, Christ-like obedience comes out of an understanding of the incredible love, the immeasurable love, the unfathomable love that our Heavenly Father has for each one of us as his children. Let's learn from these lessons as mothers, not to be the ones who the devil wants to use to bring division, but rather to be instruments of obedience which bring salvation, the good news of salvation. The word salvation actually means, it actually is tied up in the name of Yeshua. God is our salvation. In other words, nothing missing, nothing broken. It is wholeness in every area of our lives as Christians. So Lord, thank you for this message. May this message be a message which will bring obedience to your daughters, Lord, in every respect. Thank you, Father, for teachable spirits, in Yeshua's mighty name, and all glory is given to you. Amen. Amen.